chasing your impossible dream, even with death staring you in the face.
Lord! Aim! Shoot!
Is that so? Let's see how you move after this.
When you can take the pebble from my hand, it will be time for you to leave.
Ninja! The tea party's over!
Good evening, it's time for the Asian Action Cast. Sitting around the Kung Fu couch, we've got Christian.
Hello.
Nathan.
Hey.
Rachel.
This is not a Kung Fu movie.
And this is me, Scott. Hello. How are we all doing tonight?
I'm doing all right.
I was promised...
It is always the Kung Fu couch though, right?
I was promised the hosting and I was robbed.
You were downvoted. So tonight on the Asian Action Cast, we've done the blockbuster international...
Epic.
Phenomenon, epic, triple R. But before we get...
Alternate history.
What do we do here at the Asian Action Cast normally?
We watch a movie and then we talk about it. We review or revamp or recap, whatever you want to do.
And we are a what? Full of what?
Caffeine
shit,
at the moment.
Shit, shit. Yeah, I was going to say.
Full of shit. A non-fiction podcast full of lies and contradictions.
Citations needed.
Citations are needed. So triple R is the movie
from... This movie needs a lot of citations.
From last year, 2022 movie. A phenomenon worldwide.
I think it was one of the biggest grossing movies of Indian movies of the year.
Mm. I believe it's the highest grossing movie ever.
Really?
Really?
But we'll get to that shortly.
It said it was only the third Indian movie to be nominated for a Golden Globe. So
it wasn't nominated for an Oscar though, was it?
I think the music was.
Best song.
Okay.
Which is, I think is an oversight. I think it should be nominated for
something
other
else.
Things.
So is it the worldwide phenomenon or is it overrated? We'll be the judge of that. So
we are the arbiters of all things.
Yes. So Christian, do you remember what the triple R stands for?
Rise. Is it Rise, Riot? Rise, Riot, and...
I'd say Revolution. I'm going to put out Revolution.
Revere?
That's all very close, but officially it stands for two things. So it stands for Rise, Roar, Revolt.
Roar. That's
Revolt, not
also,
Revolution.
Also, when the film was announced in 2018, it was called triple R, which is an abbreviation for the director, which is Rajamouli. The actors Ram Charan and Rama Ro, or the characters.
Okay.
So that's the triple R there. But as we saw in the movie, it's Rise, Roar, Revolt.
Okay. I believe you. How much money did it make, Scott?
Give me a sec. All right. So the film grossed, it says 1,200 crore, which is 150 million US. So crore is like a denomination of money, I think.
Really?
Yeah. It's the third highest grossing Indian film and the second highest grossing Telugu film worldwide. So this film is originally dubbed in Telugu,
mm-hmm.
which as we sort of know is Bollywood is a catch-all term for all Indian cinema for a lot of people, but Bollywood is generally referring to Hindi films and Telugu is Tollywood or Tellywood. The version we watched tonight was in Hindi.
Netflix.
On Netflix, but...
I would have changed it if it was available, but...
There was no Telugu option for us?
I didn't look.
There wasn't.
Sorry.
Could have watched it all in English. That would have been weird.
It was weird. We started in English, and
like,
it felt strange.
No. You gotta change it.
Do you know what's weird? Just as an aside, totally got nothing to do with the movie. Disney Plus needs to pick up its game. Because you set a language for Disney, right? Yeah. It should just be... play stuff in original language because I'll be sitting there and I watch a lot of anime on there now because I actually picked up a lot of anime. So like, I want to watch this in Japanese with subtitles. So I'll change it to Japanese with subtitles. And then when I go to like watch Mandalorian, fucking Japanese at me. I'm like, no.
Better. Improved.
But you changed it.
What are you talking about?
You just changed it to Japanese subtitles.
No, it should be. It should
I changed this. It's system wide. It's not to the...
Should be for each show.
It should be for each show. You should just be able to say original. Plus
and then
subtitles.
If you change it, right?
So Mandalorian was in English.
Well, yes, Mandalorian is. No, I think filmed in English.
But now it thinks you prefer.
But
Japanese
now it thinks I prefer Japanese. So it's that's all the shows I watch in Japanese.
Yes, that's exactly what I was trying.
That's
to
a great
say.
Way to learn Japanese, though.
So you want it to be like just one show, and then it goes back to revert to normal.
I want it to be as per the show. I want it to have original plus subtitles. Original like voices plus subtitles. That should be pretty easy, I think.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you're listening to is First World Problems.
Yeah.
This film was directed by S.S. Rajamouli, who was, that's one of the R's in the original Triple R.
You put a stamp of approval at the end as well.
He did.
Yeah, yes, he did.
Literally a stamp of approval.
I know.
Stars N.T. Rama Rao Jr., which is Bheem, who is known through most of the film as Akhtar, and Ram Charan, who is, what's the guy's name? I forget.
Uh-oh.
Shit.
Raja?
Ram Charan as Raju, sorry.
Yeah, yes. Raju.
But his full name is Alluri Sitarama Raju. So.
Now, these are second generation, right?
I guess.
Actors, yeah.
Yeah. Now, what were their fathers or their first generations known for?
Acting.
Mum
or dads?
We're asking a real hard... We've got phones here. Like,
I need more time to research.
You had a three-hour movie. What more do you need?
I was transfixed. I was watching the movie. Thank you, sir.
Well, Ram Charan, who is super handsome and the Terminator, his family is listed as Alu Kondela family, which is known for their work in Telugu cinema, three generations in films, business and politics. So that's everything. And the other guy, N.T. Rama Rao Jr.
Says he was a child actor. At one point.
Well, if your parents and grandparents are actors, or
they're all actors and politicians. They're all like...
Well, no, you're just on set, I assume. They go, hey, we need that kid.
They're all pretty important people, so I guess, you know, good on them. Who else is in this movie? Can you help me out here, guys?
Jenny from the Block.
Jenny from the Block is in there. Ray Stevenson is in
there. The Punisher is in this movie.
Olivia Morris is Jenny.
Okay.
Ray Stevenson. Have a surname. Oh, unless she's a Buxton as well. Buxton.
Governor Scott Buxton is Ray Stevenson, a.k.a. Lord British Brishington.
360 no-scoping.
Honestly, one of the best British villains I've ever seen.
The stuffiest, most arrogant, smug.
Piece of shit.
He's perfect. So, pitch this movie to me. Describe this movie in a couple of sentences. Let's start with Nathan, because you breathed in first.
Alternate... history in which the colonizers are overthrown, and it's all very epic and awesome. And two people that, you know, they formed the best bromance that's ever been put on celluloid.
Christian?
Two CrossFit guys show their workout on film.
They are pretty ripped. Rachel?
Friendship ended with British Empire.
Now independence.
Ramu Raju and Bheem is now my best friend.
This is Inglourious Basterds Cross with Avatar.
With Avatar?
Well, so much 3CG,
look,
man.
Look at these savages, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, these brown people.
Oh, these people are blah, 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 blah.
There's also, I also want to point out, there's some Yakuza fucking shit. This is the most Yakuza video game movie I think I've ever seen. They fight tigers, they pick up motorcycles. It's...
They have a Trojan horse.
Yeah, it's Yakuza, the video game series.
No one ever goes, why is that happening?
No. Yeah, exactly. It's all symbolism, right? It's all like, we're not supposed to really believe it's real. It's, you know, it's like a superhero movie.
Yeah, it's a fantasy superhero movie. I guess loosely based on real events or real characters.
Very loosely.
But, so we're not going to pick up on all these references.
No, we are
obviously,
not
all
the,
these historical facts. We're just going to take it for what it is, which is a... over 3 hour fantasy epic.
Like early modern, not early modern in the sense like, you know, the early 20s, it's got some anachronisms, but it's pretty great. Anyway,
it's a 3 hour motivational movie.
Yes. Yes.
Especially the last chapter of it.
Yes.
There's a couple of times where you're like, oh, it's going to end here. And then go, brrr, and kind of like.
You didn't check your clock, your watch.
It was actually fairly well paced.
There are a couple of scenes I think could have been trimmed.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I think you're right. Like, we talked about a few scenes where they could have been... Like, the flashbacks could have been before the epic fireworks factory, so to speak. But it paces well and it recovers well from that.
Yeah, it builds and it ebbs and flows in a reasonable way for a three-hour film.
Mm.
I did get bored a couple of times. Yeah. That's going to happen. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
I mean, I thought overall it was structured... well enough anyway. I mean, they were going to fill out 3 hours, whether you like it or not, by default anyway, because that's what the audience expects. So,
I mean, the amount of money that was spent on this, the amount of production companies that were at the start of the film.
I did want to time that, but I forgot, because I'm sure it was over a minute.
Do you think it had more than the Jackie Chan movie?
Probably.
Chinese Zodiac?
Yeah, it was Chinese Zodiac. Yeah, this movie was really good. Do you want to... We already tried to sell it in one word. We already tried to sell it, right?
We just did that.
Yeah, we just did that.
What else do we do here?
I don't know. We talk about stunts, but all of it was CG.
Let's give a very basic plot.
All right.
Who wants to do that?
So.
Everybody sit down. Papa Christian's going to tell you a story.
Loosely based on Indian history, two Indian revolutionaries come together. One was a police officer who rose up through the ranks. This is based on the film. I actually don't know all about their history. So in the film, he rises up through the ranks to distribute guns, to put guns back in the Indians' hands so that they can rise up and revolt.
He's Braveheart.
He's Braveheart. The second guy is a guardian of a innocent tribe, so to speak.
The Gond tribe or something.
Gond tribe. The British decide they're going to take this girl. They've bought her for 2 shilling, and he is their guardian who goes to get her back. And it's raced on him. What happens with him emotionally charges the people, and they rise up through him. They're both, it's very, very loosely based, but had real aspects of their life in the film.
It's a fetch quest.
There's a lot of ins and outs there. Like, there's backstory about why the guy wants the guns and why he's joined the police. And during the whole thing, you're kind of like, well, he seems like a pretty cool dude. Why does he want to do that? And they intersperse his backstory to give you at a reasonable, appropriate time. So it's like, it does come off like you, because that's what I was, why is he being such a dick? Why is he being a Terminator?
He comes across as a Terminator traitor, and you're like, when's it going to click? Because they have a bro off for a while and they dance.
Yeah. Oh, that was one of the best. They're like, they meet up saving a kid from a burning train explosion. Pretty great.
And they become besties.
Besties, man.
That sequence was the best.
That sequence was very good. And then they do, like, it had a montage of them, like, sort of falling in bro love. And
hanging out. Cause yeah, it reminded, what else are you going
to do? Did it remind you guys of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid at all? Like that, like their montage, their bromance montage? It kind of reminded me of that. Anyway.
Needed was a scene of them cooking or something. You know?
So it's a three-hour movie. So Christian pretty much hit the nail on the head about what the overall themes are. But there are so many other things in there. You've got a sort of a semi-romance between Beam and an English lady.
Jenny.
Who he's kind of using to get into the compound. But he
recognizes she's got a good heart. He says she has a good heart.
Right? Yeah.
I actually think that's more like a... I wouldn't say a red herring as bad, like a proper red herring, but there's a lot of loose plots that sort of drive you in one direction. The next thing you know, they don't really do anything with it, or it's
brushed away a bit. Like, they could have fleshed it up a bit more. Like, she's at the end, and she kind of pops up a bit here and there, but it's like what they built up, and they kind of discarded it pretty quickly, I guess.
And Raju has like a sister, cousin, girlfriend.
It's his wife.
Yeah. Well, she calls her mum auntie. So cousin, right?
Not necessarily.
Yeah, it's a pretty small village. So you've got that. There's a whole romantic thing there. There's a bunch of... A lot of the movie, a lot of like the middle, like the first third through to the middle is about Beam trying to get this kid out of the compound. Like that's kind of his
Mali.
That's like his overriding quest, if you will.
Because at the start, they kind of mentioned this tribe that he's part of. They're very meek. They're very sort of, they don't want to cause trouble, mm-hmm. but they're going to keep coming.
Yeah. They're not going to let it go.
Needling you away. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then you've got the evil people, which are the English, and they're essentially like psychic evil vampires that feed on the blood of the innocent. You know, pretty true to life, I guess.
They experience joy through suffering.
And there's a lot of scenes of just like just English people beating on people. Like, oh, you didn't fix my motorbike, beat. Oh, you didn't do the thing that I wanted you to do, beat. You don't have your ID, beat. It's like, it's pretty much the movie.
Like, if they could have their noses pointed any more into the sky, they'd be like vertical all the time, like head straight up like that.
I got a question that I sort of thought of earlier. When you see, now I'm not talking about action scenes, I'm talking about the actual fight scenes, like the one-on-one fight scenes that they have. Now in this, there's a lot of, there are some strikes, but I see a lot more grappling, a lot more, almost like jujitsu-like moves in this. Do you think at the core of the one-on-one fights, how Hong Kong fights, I believe there'd be a lot more striking. In these type of movies, I don't know, at the core, are they the same, or do you think they go in a different direction with these?
Do you mean are they sort of focusing
They do. This one was focusing a lot on grapples, but I think it was this one was doing whatever looked fucking fancy at the time. Like with the one-on-one fights where they actually go for more than a second, because most of the time, realistically, they jump at each other, someone gets their arm or something breaks, and then or someone gets a motorcycle thrown at them, and then it's over. But in the ones like where the two heroes fight each other, there's a lot of like arm locks, and yeah, I think you're right. I think there's definitely a less punching and kicking, but they do still punch the fuck out of each other. So I don't know. Yeah. I think it's more style, more stylish.
So you think like a more Hong Kong / Asian type will go for more like...
Well, motherfuckers didn't kick each other, did they?
No. but I mean, like, do you think they go for that, you know, how they do the kick or a punch, they have impact powder, while here, in this type of movie, we had a lot more, instead of a punch, it was more of a throw. Or
back then, they didn't have CG, so they just had to use talcum powder all the time.
They had to make contact.
And then they were either trained through Chinese opera or in acrobatics, or they trained in kung fu or wushu or something like that. So that's the basis from where all their stunts come from and whatever.
Because I can see that these guys had some training in how to throw and how to kick and what their grapples and that. It wasn't like they just made it up on the spot. They would have had to have somebody give them a little bit of training on that.
Yeah.
In a way, it's a little bit more realistic. Like
I felt a lot like wrestling.
Yes. Mm. It's like, I'm going to use my leg to wrap around your neck because you're in range, as opposed to sort of kicks and stuff like that. It's a bit more like grappling and stuff, yeah.
Otherwise, there's a lot of wire work going on.
Because there's a lot more... I noticed with this one, there's a lot more mob-based. And I noticed in a lot of the Hong Kong films, it's even though they might have three or four people... They always focus, you hit one person then move to the next person. This one was like mob fights. Like there's seven people on the screen at one time getting kicked, thrown, punched, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Can I go on a little side story here?
Yeah, you can.
I was talking to a guy at work. I was driving him to another area and we're just chit-chatting. And he's like, oh, what's your background? Where are you from? I told him where he's from. I said, where are you from? And he said he was born in India but raised in Australia. And I just threw up and he's like, what do you think about Shah Rukh Khan? And he laughed and said, that guy, I don't know why he's so famous. He's short, can't act, overrated. So that was pretty funny. He's like, yeah, man, overrated, can't act, too short. Why is he famous?
Look at his smarmy face.
Because he's smoke, maybe.
And we all know that it's hard and dense. So this film opens, not to deviate from the plot, but it opens pretty brutally.
Oh, yeah.
Like, smashed in the face, and our Raju is just... on people.
Is that the start or is it buying the girl the start?
The start starts off with the beautiful blonde wife of Governor Scott.
Buxton. Beautiful blonde? I would say vampiric.
Yeah, but you don't... In the beginning, you see this beautiful woman in a tribe and this little girl is doing... I don't know
like
what...
Like a henna tattoo?
Yeah, henna tattoo.
Like a henna tattoo on her hand. And she's singing this song and everything's all peaceful and the whole village is, oh yeah. And he comes up in his car and the woman goes... I want to buy this child, and they just the butler flicks two coins, and then they take the girl in the car, and everybody sort of clicks onto what they're doing, and then the wife or the mother chases them, and one of the speech that gets put through a lot, and I think it's supposed to be really poignant, is one of the guards goes to shoot the girl who jumps in front of the car, and he goes, that bullet is not worth these peasants, these brown buggers, every slur they can think of in the book they get called, and he goes, find another way, so he just picks up a big branch and just beats the...
It turns around, this will do, crunch. Brutal.
Yeah, but all throughout the film, he keeps pushing that a bullet is not worth... Because it costs so much to get from England to here that it's not worth wasting on these peasants.
When you have a rock.
Yeah, or stick. Find another way. And in that way, it was like really poignant and really... I don't know, it was like... It set the tone for the bad guy. Like, just how smug and smarmy he was.
It's like Rambo 4, right? This guy's a piece of shit and he's going to get it at the end.
Yeah, they're real pieces of shit. There's a part... we're not going to go through it beat by beat. It's a three-hour fucking movie. We'll be here all night.
So, minute 15.
but there's a point where the wife character, she is as evil and heartless
would
as
you
he
say
is.
She's Elizabeth Bathory?
Yes, she is Bathory-esque. She bathes
in the blood of virgins to preserve her looks.
Yes, but she... She has fillers in 1920. I didn't even know that existed. Maybe she just gets bees and sticks them into her cheeks and face. But she has like just a hand. She has like a corded whip with like needles in it, and then she just throws, give them, whip him with this. It's very cool. It's very Vlad von Karsten. It's evil Dracula people. If they want the adrenochrome out of all those kids.
I think it's a good. They're both good villains. They play a really. They're very short. They don't have a lot to do in this movie, but when they are on screen, you can always tell that they're, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's really good plot. Really good picking on that. I mean, it's probably not the hardest job to do, be smarmy, but I think they chose really well those two.
Nathan, tell me about the costuming and what you don't like about the costume.
Oh, the costuming is. Like, it's all over. Like, there's, I don't know. It's obviously, I don't know if it's period appropriate. That's as far as I'm going to say. I don't think it's period appropriate.
But there was something you made mention of a lot.
Oh, I made a mention of it at the very beginning because I thought it was from the 18th century to start with. But they have, like, name badges. Everybody's got, like, these name badges. And I was like, why do they have name badges? Why
so don't
they?
You never need to know what the character's name is. He's going to look at name badge.
Yeah, look at name badge. But they look like they work at McDonald's or something. They're going to usher you to your seat.
It is weird to sort of focus on that, cinema. But it does look like, oh, that's kind of modern.
But it could be Bakelite, you know,
why would
from
Scott
the 20s.
Buxton have a badge?
Yeah, why would the governor have
really
a badge, though?
Hilarious.
Look at all the medals on his chest. What else is he going to be?
I am the king. Well, not the king. The king's representative.
The queen's representative.
I think it's a king at this time.
King George, I think.
Oh, yes, you're right. Sorry. Mm.
Yeah,
my bad.
Elizabeth didn't get in until the 50s.
Oh, bye.
Anyway. we're introduced to Raju next.
The Terminator.
The Terminator. He is working as a police officer, and there's like a riot happening, and the police place is going to get overrun, and they get... King George's portrait's smashed by a rock, and the leader of the police in that spot go, hey, get that guy. And he's the only one who's able to do
and
it.
He spots him in the red jumper. He's like, got him.
And he goes after him like he's a fucking T-800.
And it's funny because he is the only one in a red jumper in the whole... yeah, but it's right. All the other guards are like... Because it looks like a scene from Resident Evil with Mila Djokovic. There's this compound that's surrounded just by these zombies, but they're all these angry Indians. And he just leaps the fence and just with one stick manages to beat 250,000 Indians back.
He is Indian, by the way. Let's just make sure we...
Brothers.
Brothers. And he feels bad about it the whole time, but you don't know he feels bad about it the whole time.
Like this fucking traitor.
Yep.
And he's wearing this really cool handlebar moustache. And
he looks fantastic. He looks cool as shit.
And he's just... Yeah. There's one point where they mob him and he's like...
They hit him in the back of the head with a rock and get him down and everybody jets on it. But then he fights his way out of it. And it's not just like he throws him off. He does like move after move, just keeps going forward. It's actually very impressive.
And he gets to the guy and he drags him back in. And yeah, it's just this scene of absolute carnage where he just swings this wooden stick. Doesn't stop until he gets to the gate.
It's actually probably my favorite actual fight sequence in the whole film. Like it is CG. There's lots of dumb shit going on, but it's not fucking tigers and shit. It's not like picking up motorcycles.
The one thing I like the look of him. Obviously I don't think their hair was quite like that back then, but the next scene, Beam.
It's got a H right there. B-H-W.
Actar.
Actar.
He, Beam. That's a trap. Beam is a guardian of the Gondos and... Gonzos?
The Gonzos?
Gonzos. He's the leader of the Gonzos. He's the guardian of the Gonzos and he's...
let's not do that, hey.
He's... in this next scene, he fights a tiger and a wolf and hears about what's going on, but he's physically built and he's physically got this presence about him, but the way they present him with his hair and his look...
He's the common man.
He does look like the common man. It just doesn't suit him, though. Like, if you were the guardian of this tribe or whatever, you think you'd have this either longer hair.
I think he's the guardian. He's just like the dude.
Well, when they describe him, he's the shepherd that will not stop until he gets the sheep back to the herd.
And just not like
he has a particular set of skills.
Yeah,
he's not talking him up like this is my brother. He's the man.
I just don't know. Like, I just think.
Well, you say he should have long hair and stuff, but
I don't
actually
know about long hair. But maybe he just should have had. He just looked. I mean, I know the whole point was him to look sort of plain in that, but he just didn't look like this person should have been the guardian. He just looked like someone who'd go to the guardian and ask for help.
It doesn't bother me at all. Didn't bother me one bit.
I see what you mean, but yeah, it didn't. It's like, well, that made it more impactful because he can.
I will say this: killer smile.
Handsome as shit.
No, I wouldn't say super handsome, but like
charming.
Yeah, yeah, he had that charming smile. Like,
he had that
yeah.
innocence about him, naivety.
I'd hang out with that guy.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'd bro out with him.
Yeah, bro.
I'd do the nacho dance.
Yeah. Nacho man.
Hi, what could be?
It's a good beat. Nacho
man. So yeah, that's the other thing that's in this movie. There's actually a fair amount of singing.
I'd say there's 4 songs.
I wouldn't say there's as much as I expected.
Mm-hmm. For this big giant production, I
think
there'd be more.
I think there's 4 songs, maybe 5 songs in the movie, there's one at the end.
There's like maybe 2 or 3 that are sung for the purpose of the movie. The rest is like the songs are guiding the plot, essentially. Yeah. Like, oh no, their friendship's going to end, kind of thing.
How will this friendship end? Will it end in bloodshed? The meeting of two, I don't know, two brothers or something like that.
But if you count the song at the end and the ball party dance song, there's like maybe 2 or 3 songs, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty, that dance is pretty dumb.
Pretty awesome.
Pretty dumb and pretty awesome.
It's like, stupid white guy, start dancing.
Yes. You know what? Everybody got into it and made a hell of a mess there.
Yeah. I really liked when the African guy who was doing the drums was like, I approve of you guys giving these people shit.
Brown and black people, yeah.
Like,
and the women too. The women like, yeah, yeah, allies, solidarity.
Like it's the time period, right? It's the set allegedly in the 20s. The racism and the sexism is there, and it's so over the top that it's kind of funny, like so corny and cheesy, but it works, right?
I kind of wish there was a little bit more sexism. Not, you know, just to make...
It would have made them all...
Assholes.
Yeah, there should have been someone that put Jenny in a place at some point. Like, that guy should have... Someone
slapped her or something?
Yeah, someone should have been... Like, that dick from the dance should have been like, fuck Jenny, I'm fucking...
You know what?
Go clean that shit up,
Robert
Jenny.
Should have done it. That would have made his death more satisfying.
Yeah, you're right.
That is the one thing about this that I didn't agree with, was you had these big bosses, sub-bosses, mini-bosses, and they just... I know they're trying to... push forward the heroes and that, but they didn't even land a punch. They didn't do anything. Like the Robert, who is the one of the mini bosses, he should have at least connected with a couple of punches or something.
I'm just gonna say, motherfucker picked up a goddamn motorcycle. They ain't on the same level. That guy's picking up motorcycles, for fuck's sake.
He fought a goddamn tiger.
Like, what's
Robert?
Robert
went
got a mustache.
Buffet. He went to the buffet too many times.
Well, he lifted a fork and a knife.
It would. I could see your point if what the British could have done is
had their own version of them.
No, but like they could have been good with guns or something. Like there needed to be something, because it doesn't make the thing that bothers me about the movie is, yes, they're evil as fuck, but they seem to be horribly incompetent. Like, so how have they been successful?
They're Keystone Cops?
Yeah. Like, they needed to show how bad the badasses are, if you know what I mean. Like, if you're not going to do glimpses
of it, but yeah, I get, sure.
It was just the ammunition and the gunpowder, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Well, then make them good with guns for 10 minutes. I don't know.
They've got the
make
cannons.
Them destroy a whole... Instead of them going to that village and getting wiped out by a child, maybe them actually have them wipe out the village, like, easily.
Almost. They almost got there. They shot a lot of people.
Yeah, not really. One kid killed like 40 of them.
I mean, these two heroes are basically godlike in their abilities.
That's right. They are essentially deities.
They saved India from, you know, colonization, essentially.
Scott Buxton.
In this movie, yes.
Yes.
From the surname Buxton.
Lord Britishington.
Lord Scottish Britishon. anyway, so yeah, that's probably my only issue with those, but all the fight scenes are great. We could go through, how many are there? Like 15? 20?
No, it's not that many. There's literally 4 fight scenes.
You could describe the fight in the forest with the tiger, because...
That's a fight sequence.
That's pretty...
Could you just quickly go through the rest of the plot?
Yeah.
We haven't even got to them being bros yet.
Yeah.
They're broing out. But there's a secret. Yes. They've both got secrets.
So the Raju's plan is to get high enough to become a special officer. Once you're a special officer, you may be tasked with delivering the caches of weapons around the country. And that's his secret. Because that's like, you don't know, you find this out as the film progresses, but that's why he's doing all this nefarious shit, is because he wants to get his hands on those so he can get it to the people.
He misses out on a promotion earlier and he is fucking angry.
Yeah, he's furious about it. And the other guy's looking for Marley, and they meet when they save a kid from an exploding train over a lake. It's pretty great. But one of the things, the way we meet Beam is that he's capturing animals and you don't know why, kind of. And you find out later, and it's pretty great.
It's a good payoff.
So they bro out, they help this kid, they bro out, they kind of... But One of the things that Raju's found out is that if he captures this particular guy, because they know this guy is going to come for this girl, if he captures him, he'll be given the promotion that he's after. So they don't know that each one is each other's prey to a degree, but they're broing out. So it's a real like betrayal later on.
And each time they come close to figuring it out, something happens. Like one of Beam's friends is captured and being interrogated, and he says, to get him through the checkpoint, he gives him his ID and said, "I'm an undercover, just, you know, make it so." And then the guard accidentally salutes him, and the friend realizes what's going on and runs, and he has to chase him. He's got a drawing of this guy, and if he shows it to Beam, Beam will automatically know why he's looking for him. But as they're riding on a motorbike, and he goes, "Oh, I'll show you the picture." And as he goes to show him, the wind blows it out of his hand and it lands in a puddle and makes it, you know, you can't show him. There's a lot of things like that. Every time they just about find out about something, something happens and gets in the way.
So nothing can stop the bromance. It's just fate, baby, fate.
And then sort of they're enjoying it, and Beam's like, you know, "Your friendship is the best thing that's ever happened to me. We're broing out, having a good time." It's cool.
Like he helps, inadvertently, Raju helps Beam infiltrate the palace because he helps him with Jenny. Like, because he can't speak
English.
He's
being a good wingman.
Yeah, he's being a great fucking wingman. One of the best. He even fails a dance contest, which I think is a capital offence in India.
It's like a weird sumo dance contest, right?
Yeah. And so that happens. What happened? Oh, fuck. It's so long. I actually forget some actual poignant bits, but yeah.
I actually got to say, like, that dance number, I'm a little bit disappointed with it. Not that I'm sure they're putting in the effort in and they've got a lot of twisting and stuff like that. But from when I've seen these Indian dance moves and all these big, it's these big elaborate, like there's lots of stuff going on. And this just seemed very, very basic. It's all about the foot movement and all that. And it just didn't seem like...
Do you want something more like the last song maybe?
Sorry?
The end of the movie?
That had a lot of set pieces in it and stuff like that. But
I mean, this is like the second Indian movie you've seen, right?
No, I've seen a couple more, but... Mm. The ones that I have seen, that this one just seems very... For a movie this size and this big and the reputation it had, it just seemed very, yeah, very basic. Very basic dancing.
I mean, they sort of introduced this dance to the British because he's like, I can do the tango and the flamenco. What can you do, you scum? And they show the Nacho Nacho song.
Something Desi, I forgot. What,
yeah.
Like. Not salsa, not flamenco, my brother. Do you know? Desi Nacho?
What's Desi Nacho? Like a Desi dance or something.
They call it, the song's called Nacho Nacho. Like, not the fruit, but it's what it is. That's called. And essentially, this is the song that got them
nominated for the Oscar.
Okay. It's not that good.
It's good.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
So, yeah. On to more plot points. As they go on, they begin to... Bream finds Marley in the... And he tries to get away.
He hears her singing, right?
Yeah, he hears her singing. He goes to her and she doesn't want to let him go. She doesn't care. She says, "I don't care if we get captured. Take me, take me, take me." He starts singing. They leave.
I got a plan. I just needed to find you first.
At this point, Robert is patrolling the castle.
Yeah, and you think he's going to find him.
Oh, shit. Robert is pissed.
Yep. Robert just reminds me of a very angry Ricky Gervais. He really got that. Maybe.
And Raju captures one of the accomplices and he's torturing him to try and find out where Beam is.
I think that's Beam's brother.
Yeah. And he's torturing him, but the accomplice finds a snake and sticks it on. That's really funny. I found that real funny. And then that's the same night that they're going to try and break out Mali. So that's the night they take all the animals, the menagerie, and they fucking go ape shit.
They go into the Trojan horse.
Yeah, fuck, it's funny. It's bad CG, but it is funny.
It's the fireworks factory.
Yeah, literally, there's fireworks going off. It's
one
great.
Good thing about this fight scene is when they unleash all the animals are attacking everyone, not just the bad guys. They're attacking innocents. They're attacking the actual heroes.
They're attacking each other.
Yeah, it's. I got to say, for a CG animal thing, it's really well done.
I do like how Robert gets done. He's fighting. He has no chance against...
He's whipping him with some chains, Chip. Right?
Yeah.
He's got the upper hand a little bit.
A teeny tiny bit. But then he there's like a jump, and then he gets his like arm impaled on a deer horn. It's fucking hilarious.
There's a lot of chef's kiss. There's a lot of thought gone into the choreography, some of the locations and the actual story, whether it's computer driven or not. So I'll give him credit on that aspect because a lot of it has been really, really well thought out. Because a lot of the times you'd see in a movie like this, they would have stuff you see in the background. Like there's a scene where after he gets bitten by the snake, he goes to try and find Beam, and they're in the street, and suddenly, Beam and two guys are there, and it suddenly focuses on the background on Aktur, Ram.
Raju is there.
Raju. Yeah. And it went all blurry for a minute, and you're sort of like, what the hell is going on here? Is this shore scope in reverse? And then you sort of see in the background it's focused on him. So it was really subtly done because it made you think, what is going on here? Then you see in the back, oh, wait. You know. So there's some really good things going on in this that I think will get overlooked and criminally too.
Because there's so much other shit going on.
There's a lot of explosions happening.
Okay, up to this point, just to go back to the Nacho Nacho song. I had not seen a full trailer for this. All I've seen is a couple of clips and a still of them like doing the dance, essentially. I was like, this is going to be a great movie. And the tiger.
The thing that plays if you accidentally leave it on next to
you. And the pitch is like, this is going to be a great fucking movie. I didn't know about the betrayal and all this other stuff. This is all news to me. It's like, this is great. Because I thought it was just going to be two bros broing out, having a dance, and it's much better.
So at this point, the things that Beam's done have helped Raju fight off the venom, and he fucking shows up in a flaming carriage, and it's fire versus ice in this motherfucker, and it's like it's Scorpion versus Sub-Zero, and they are fighting, and it's pretty great.
And he's in full police uniform too, and this is when Beam sort of realizes they all sort of go to. He doesn't want to fight him at first, and Raj isn't holding back. He's like not pulling his punches. He's not doing that. They have this really, really good fight, which ends up accumulating on Beam's hanging off a balcony with Raj holding onto
spiritual
reed or something.
Yeah,
his holy
some kind of
like, holy thread, and he can't. He punches him, Raj in the face twice while hanging, but he knows he can't do any more, and they capture him
because Marley's at gunpoint essentially, right?
Yeah,
yeah, and then the next scene it shows like Raj is getting congratulated by the governor, he gets his special promotion, and they show this warehouse just full of weapons, so many weapons, and he's sort of like, yeah, I've done it, I'm going to do this.
One might say it's a fireworks factory.
Yes, and then we get another flashback and you find out, oh, this has been the plan the whole time, this is what he's been working towards.
This is what we're talking about before, like, this flashback is in the right place.
Yeah.
Because as much as it abruptly happens and it would have made more sense in the past, it paces
well,
much better.
It means that you, if you knew already, there wouldn't be as much emotional impact when they're fighting. You would already sort of be on his side a bit. You were definitely supposed to be on Beam's side.
Sure.
And you don't really know the motivation of Raju. You just know because of the fucking movie you're watching that he's going to be a good guy. You just don't know when or how or what, unless, of course, you know history, I guess. But I don't think any of this is very historical for the most part. I think he actually did do something with guns, though, that guy. But anyway, that's not the point.
Just a little side note here, a little quiz here. Who do you think was the better one, Beam or Raj?
The character, the actor, what do you mean?
The character, like, who are you rooting for the most?
Man, it's got to be Beam.
Beam's my guy, but Raj is so fucking cool.
He's very cool, but, like he's, like, got that smile.
What about you, Raj?
Raj is very handsome, but it's definitely a two-for-one deal. Like, they're a package or they're not at all.
I was rooting for the tiger. I wanted to give him a scritch.
I wanted to give that tiger a scritch.
I was rooting for Ray Stevens this one. I'd have to go for Raj in this one. Like,
He's like so stoic and so passionately into what he's doing for the cause, even if it fucks up his best friendship. You got to admire a bit of that, but at the same time, you fucking traitor.
Until you realize the story.
Bigger picture.
Well, you say that, bigger, like, but the. Like the, it's supposed to. I don't know. I know it's not, but you know, a lot of people sacrifice a lot of things because of the greater good. And where do you draw the line? I guess is supposed to be a thing that happens.
I'm drawing that right here, Christian, Nathan, and Sam, Michael, listening, Rachel. I ain't betraying any of you motherfuckers. No, no one's getting betrayed by me. I'd rather die. I'll take a bullet for y'all,
bros.
I just want to give.
No, you're supposed to say yes. I would as well.
Oh, look at the time I've got.
It's getting late.
Quick shout out to Mike and Sam too. I hope your STI tests come back negative. And was that the cup they were drinking? Don't touch that one.
Christian's lying. Take a bullet for you. Nathan?
So
take a bullet for me.
Yeah, man. One in the leg, two in the arm, maybe. I'd prefer to Not.
Would you take a bee sting for me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think I'm allergic. I'd be all right with that. Maybe even in the lips, so I get puffy lips like that lady from this movie.
The Botox?
Yeah,
the Botox.
Botox.
Rachel?
Huh?
You'd take a bullet for me, right?
What is the question?
I think I
was just thinking about
once.
Infernal Affairs. So if Raju turns in like Infernal Affairs, Tony Leung or something.
Shit, you're right.
That's all.
So they capture Beam. They're holding him prisoner. They're beating the fuck out of him. They want him to kneel. They drag him onto a thing. There's a song, a sad like but hopeful like revolutionary
and
song.
The shot you mentioned about the Elizabeth Bathory dropping down the cat of nine tails, essentially.
Well, it's not a cat. Yeah, it's not. But yes, that's what it's equivalent. Yeah. So they do that and they flay him, and then they drag him back in, and he does rouse the crowd. They are starting to attack. They take him off the stage, or the gallows.
They're all people with different beliefs as well.
Yeah. From they were forced to go
costuming.
There.
Costuming, so yeah, it's very important.
It's everybody. And isn't that I might have glossed over this bit, but isn't that like it's not? It doesn't hit us. Well, it doesn't hit me very strongly. But wasn't that part of the point where Beam's from a marginalized society, like
the Gond.
Yeah, from another society, but he's hiding in Delhi
as a Muslim.
So they wouldn't suspect that he's from that from that group.
Yeah, and then obviously Raju's a Hindu, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, so it's like it's supposed to be like
different classes, different.
Yeah, but it's outside of my. But they didn't make a big point of that, but they did point it out. So I thought it might be important.
Also, just a quick reference here. I'm not an expert, obviously, but officially there are 22 languages officially spoken in India.
Yeah.
But unofficially, there's also 121 other dialects. So
Daleks.
So yeah, that's like saying there's lots of languages spoken in Australia. Essentially, like people don't just speak English; people speak other languages. But in India, there's 21 languages or 22
like
languages.
20 large ones. 21 major languages. Yes. Okay,
so
it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, there's gonna be some shit we didn't pick up on.
Yeah, yeah, a
like
lot.
They might have said the equivalent, or like, may the force be with you, and went straight over our fucking heads.
Yeah, yeah. So there's that. They riot. They get him out of there. They're gonna go kill him. And
because Raju's the fucking Terminator.
Raju's the fucking Terminator. Yeah. And then they decide. And then Raju's like, oh, he gets his mission to take the guns out, but he can't let his bro die. So he sacrifices his plan to save his bro. And that's pretty cool. This bit's pretty cool too. But so what? Marley's being taken to see the execution, but he planted, he incepted that idea into Ray Stevenson's head.
Because he's like, oh, they'll suffer more. And he's like,
yes, violence.
He's just like, yeah.
Yeah, so they're going to go kill him in the middle of nowhere. And Marley's on the way there. But then he's like, no, we're going to get them both. We're going to let them both escape.
He shakes Raj's hand and he sees some residue on it. And I never understood that. What that means?
I think it's blood, right? Is it not blood from the razor?
No, but he didn't handle the razor.
Okay,
that was his offsider that did that.
I thought it might be some paint.
Then what
or something.
Is the? Yeah,
I thought it had something to do with the guns.
What is
something.
The red paint?
Yeah, I don't know what that symbolizes.
Because like, Raj does is he sabotages all the guards' gun so that like if
they can't fire,
they can't fire. Maybe you're right, Rach. Maybe it was some because he shakes the governor's hand. The governor looks down at his hand while he's driving down, and he sees it, and he's like, you can hear the gears turning in his head, trying to figure it out. And when they're getting too close, the governor sort of sees this tree, and I don't know if you guys saw it. Like, it was just the camera was very shaky when it got to it. But
there was there was a couple of sequences in here. I don't know if it was because a lot of it was like CG interpolated or whatever. Like there was a lot of special effects going on, but sometimes it felt very stuttery. The picture, especially when it was like a shot where things were moving, especially where it was close to the ground, there would be a lot of stutter.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those scenes for me as well. Like I didn't make out a lot near the road.
But anyway, Raj speeds up because he's got Millie in the car with him, cuts like this rope and drops a tree. And the governor's car, he goes, go fast, go fast. It just gets clipped on the back, but it's enough to lift him and his rifle up in this really cool scene.
360 no scope.
He leaps up.
Bunny hopping.
His gun flies up. He grabs it one hand. He sort of lands and then takes a shot and basically takes the wheel out on Raj's car and flips the car like 19,000 times.
This is like you were talking about before where this is you see that Governor Scott Buxton is a pretty badass dude and maybe a one hand-to-hand fight would have been cool to see.
I wouldn't expect that 90-year-old man to fight hand-to-hand, but it would have been nice, like if he'd had like a brace of pistols or something, and that last sequence
muskets.
Yeah, yeah. Just, Like, you know, maybe some Gun Carter or some shit near the end. It would have been fun.
And after that, like, Raj hits the ground, rolls into a tree stump, so he's impaled on his back. And even doing that, he's still, because Bream gets out, because he's been given this razor blade, cuts his rope and starts fighting. And between the two of them, he manages to get Millie and they run to the distance.
Marley.
Run to the distance, and Raj keeps fighting the guards, he's doing this stuff so that he'll take out three or four guards at a time. Like, he'll jump on one's shoulders, put his leg around one's neck, and grab one in a headlock and sort of flip them so that they're rolling on the ground. So every time he takes three to four guys down at once.
Yeah, people have not figured out how to walk around. You just walk 20 feet to the left or right, and you'd be fine.
And he passes out, and the next thing you know...
He's been captured,
and...
And Marley and Beam are on the run.
Yep. And they're talking about how they're going to capture him. It's been a couple of months now, and he's narrowed him down to this little town. But they go and visit Raj, and they say, we're feeding him once a week. He'll be so hungry, he'll be eating his change. The next thing they walk up, and he's doing chin-ups in his cell with the chains. And they beat the shit out of his legs, throw him in the hole, and he just... puts his legs in a little position and then starts doing chin-ups again.
You know why they bit shit? Because he said, ready, or load, aim, fire, or something. Yeah. Like, fuck you, you know.
So the people in this movie are able to shake off any injury if they're the heroes as well. This is one of those things. He's got impaled in the back. He's got busted legs. And he gets rescued by... So we're essentially there, right? So so Beam on the run meets Seether.
His fiance?
Raju's fiance.
Who has the half Simpson necklace.
My best friend's necklace.
Was it Losses of Gold fucking...
Yeah. Medallion. Well, maybe they'll make the condor fly. but they save them from the guards by saying there's a smallpox outbreak. They figure out who each other are, and he goes, I'm going to go... And Beam gets like... that like bros before everybody's fucking thing, and he goes, I want to go save him, and he goes and saves him, and then they do this fucking guitar master sting? Blaster shit. Yeah. They do this master blaster shit where the dude's rolling with two rifles smoking millions of dudes.
That is the best action scene.
That is one that, of the to it's me re- that's it's so ridiculous,
it's so crazy. Like, what's gravity?
Yeah.
And what is physics? Literally, like,
don't exist, because they're all imagination, because it's all CG.
There's a little bit of context here. Beam puts... there was a scene earlier when they're showing off, and Beam has Raj on his shoulders, and he's doing squats just to show off. They pulls him out of the hole because his knees are busted. He jumps on his shoulders. Raj is like carrying two guns, and they just run around as if nobody weighs anything.
Yeah, no one weighs anything. Literally no one weighs anything. They can shoot perfectly just with one gun in each hand.
Counterpoint. He hasn't been fed for a week or two. Maybe he's a bit lighter.
Hey. He lost no muscle mass because he's able to pick people up with one hand and throw them 10 feet in the air. He's
still doing chin-ups, bro.
Yeah, well.
Still ripped.
I mean, Beam even helps him reload.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's very fun, I agree. This is a very fun fight sequence.
And then they did a flip over the guard tower somehow and then kicked the guy out.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't like this scene, you probably don't really like fun that much.
Yeah.
It's so over the top.
100%.
This was really well thought out. I mean, like, you'd have to be batshit crazy to even write this down and figure it out. Like, if someone gave you this on paper and said, figure this out, you'd be like, really? But they've done really well. And I think it, you're right. It is something that, because you've just been through a whole bunch of exposition and emotional roller coasters, and then next thing you know, they're doing...
it's ridiculous. It takes it to 10 straight away. And then they rescue him. He fixes his broken legs with some paste. And then instantly 10 minutes later, he's become fucking Rambo with his bow and arrow.
There's a statue that he's praying at. It's got a full working bow.
And quiver full of arrows.
And he's like, okay, I'll use this.
And so the Scott sends in this commandos, who apparently the commando abilities is to be quiet and stick leaves into their helmets.
They've got war paint on.
Yeah, they got war paint on. And they just get fucked up by all the arrows. And then this is where he picks up the motorcycle and throws it at someone. And it just gets fucking crazy.
Can I cut in and say, yes. Raju compliments Beam on his costume making skills, because he rips like three or four red flags from the, was it the Ram statue?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And then that's actually the representation of Raju in, I guess, how people remember him as a revolutionary in real life.
Okay.
With the red scarves around his legs and the arrows.
Okay, cool, yeah.
You know what, mate? Watching this movie makes me want to read about these guys.
I feel like it wasn't as great as the movie.
I think you might get disappointed.
They kind of died at some point.
I'm not double checking for accuracy.
I could just imagine you, Nathan, in a library with this huge tome of Indian history, and he's like, just picks it up and throws it on the ground and says, they never stood on each other's shoulders. This is bullshit.
Tugging my ass.
They weren't able
to fuck that guy.
Yeah. Was it much longer until the British got out of town?
Yeah, I know. It's a little bit after, like a little bit after World War II. So, you know, 30 years later.
Close. Damn.
The India never really got the British out. They had a few revolutionaries and they did do some damage, but they never actually got rid of them fully.
Citation needed?
No, like...
No, they're gone now.
Took them a long
time. It's still technically a British colony.
No, it's not.
A Billy Connolly.
No, it's not. They've had independence.
Australia didn't get rid of the British.
No.
We're still considered part of the Commonwealth.
Look it up on Wikipedia. We're not a history podcast. Citations are definitely needed.
But yeah, because there was a great revolution back in the time where it all started off because there was a rumour that... what they would do is they had like bullets. They had to rip the thing off with their teeth and then pour the powder into their gun. And what supposedly the British were doing were covering it in, I think it was pork fat or beef. I can't remember. It was beef or pork fat. I can't remember. I think it was beef. And because they're of their religion, they can't.
Hindus.
Yeah. Mm. So that caused a big, big revolution. And that was a
big beef revolution.
Yeah. Big beef revolution. They know because they're not allowed to eat cows. But yeah, that caused a lot of strife, especially within the because a lot of the in India, a lot of the army was the locals.
So nothing. It's all good.
Okay,
Nathan's just checking citations.
I don't care about correcting anything or doing anything. I just wanted to make sure I'm not nuts. That's all. You know how you get that? Like, I don't care, but at the same time,
I need to know:
is history wrong? 47.
Am I history's greatest master?
47. Pakistan and India.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this movie is set somewhere in the 20s, maybe 30s.
No, on the RRR that comes up like 40 minutes into the film, it does say 1920 on it.
But it doesn't say how long the movie is spread out over.
That's correct.
It could be like a couple of days. It could be a couple of years. Who knows?
Well, it's at least a couple of years because at least a couple of months because that guy's supposed to spend a couple of months in the hole.
It happens in the blink of an eye.
Yes, over a greatest man.
So we're just about at the end now, right?
What? We're at the end.
Yeah.
They kill a bunch of commandos. They like ride their horse and motorbike again, which goes back to when they were broing out. One of them at one point does this cool Rambo thing where they put a grenade on an arrow and shoot it and it explodes. It's pretty great. They blow up the entire like compound.
There's some pretty creative deaths here, like arrows in the neck and in the eye. And
yeah.
I just what you just said then, like they're blowing out on the horse and motorbike. What always made me question it was the guy who's in the British and done all the modern stuff. He's jumping on a horse. The guy who's from the jungle and he's the one that's riding the motorbike.
Gonna ask you a question, Christian.
Yeah.
Are they doing it for symbolism or is it just like, bro, there ain't no horses in the jungle?
But you'd think that a more farming based community would have more thing with horses and animals.
I'm just assuming it's symbolism. They want to show, you know, like they're allowed to do different things. They're allowed to.
I'm sure it's an artistic choice.
He fixes bikes. I'm sure he can ride a bike.
That's when he fixes motorbikes. He's hiding out where in a mechanics at one point.
Mm. Good point. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Can I citation something?
Yes.
The song we talking about Nacho Nacho, which comes up on Shazam as Nacho Nacho. It's called Natu Natu with a T. Maybe that's a pronunciation thing. Just wanted to put that out.
Thank you. The T is silent.
Maybe it's T sounds like a very ch- yeah. Ch- sound.
Yeah. No, it's going to be Nacho now.
I can't unhear it.
So there's a nice shot of the governess, I guess, all wrapped in barbed wire after all the explosions. It's a metal cover.
What they do is they throw. He gets on a jump, jumps off the motorbike. The motorbike gets a flaming arrow in it, and it gets thrown into the armory, and it just blows everything up.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's very fun.
It's red barrel after red barrel.
Yep. And then there's a dance number.
I'm going to assume the last song in the soundtrack is called Koma Uyala. I'm going to assume that's the last song. Or maybe the second last song, Ether Agenda. Because it's the last two songs, because there's a song at the end. So I'm going to assume it's one of those. I don't know. Citations are needed.
I think it's actually the last one that you mentioned, because the second last one that you mentioned sounds similar to something he's saying during the whipping the whipping situation.
Whipping. I don't know, but I assume
Whip it good.
Like the soundtrack, quote unquote, has six songs on it. So there's the music itself, like the epic background music. It's fucking epic.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
So that is a rah rah rah.
Did you want to go through what actually happens at that conclusion? The very idealistic conclusion.
Guns distributed. Marley's back. Take it from here, Rachel.
I know. Jenny and Beam.
Oh, Jenny and Beam hanging out. Because also we've got Jenny kind of helps out a little bit. Just a very short glimpse. Yeah. She's like nodding at him and thumbing up. And
she somehow gets him some information.
They could have fleshed that out a little bit more. Because they start a little romance.
In a 3-hour, 5-minute movie, they could have spent another 2 minutes on that. I'm all right. But I would have been
I thought it was a nice ending because he could have just used her.
Yes.
And for his purposes, but he actually quite liked her anyway.
I thought it was going to happen. I was like, they're going to just be like, fuck you. But like you said.
He does save her during the animal attack. Yeah. And he puts her in a car.
So he's like,
he's going to punch her in the face.
Tigers can't open doors. They might be able to smash through them, but they're probably, with all the other things to eat, they're probably not going to go through that car door.
It's a 1920s car. It's not like that central locking or anything.
It's not like
they weren't made of steel back then.
They didn't have those handles that you could pull down at that point, like you're a raptor.
Pour down.
Oh, joke's on me.
Raptor.
Like we said, that's Triple R. It's an epic fantasy, citation-needed action drama.
This is a very, very different movie to a lot of what we've seen, and I think the creativity in it needs to be seen. I think there's definitely a lot of passion going into this.
I would like to point out the acting of one N.T. Ramarao Jr., a.k.a. Beam. When he hears Marley, he starts getting the shakes, and it reminds me of 13 Assassins when he's getting the shakes, being told he can...
He's very visceral because every time he's angry, he's shaking.
He does that. He does that almost cry thing. He's not crying because he does it a lot in this movie. He does the almost angry cry, overly emotional,
Also, when people are angry and they are crying on screen, it looks real. It looks like they're really angry. They're really sad. When Marley is running, she's crying tears. It is like everybody is.
They're pretty good actors, most of it. Yeah.
And also Raju, man, he's so fucking cool.
I like when he gets his promotion. He gets that good, really, really nice, flick to his mustache. He's decided to get that English officer mustache.
He's got some cream in there or something.
Also, French kiss, chef's kiss.
French kiss. What chef's stunt? Kiss.
All French people are chefs, right?
What stunt would have hurt the most?
Except for a Swedish chef.
Bork. What stunt would have hurt the most, Christian?
I would think probably the one where you've got in the mob attack when they've just after they've whipped Beam, they grab an officer and they put him over the barbed wire and then they all just jump on him.
Step on his neck essentially, right?
Yeah, I know they would have had stuff in place in that, but having a whole bunch of people step on you.
So there's going to be some shots in there, right? Oops, sorry.
I'm pretty sure you'd feel it through the,
even if you were padded up and stuff.
Yeah, you're still going to feel like a stray barb or something. So.
The thing about that particular scene is that it's probably, so many of the other things in there, probably just CG. They're not going to CG that. They're just going to have a bunch of people walk over people. That's a real stunt.
And that's the thing about those stunts too is no matter how much you prepare, one guy's body weight's in the wrong place or one guy doesn't get even footing or something like that and it can just, there was a cool scene too, I think, that may have been when they were making the human tower with all these guys dressed in red and Beam and Raj got up the top of it. And then once they get to the top and they smash the urn at the top, they all just collapse onto each other. So I'm pretty sure maybe if you were at the bottom,
twisted an ankle there.
Well, a tower of people falling on you isn't going to be exactly the most fun you've ever had.
All right, piggybacking on that, what would you like to do in this film?
I would say what Beam does with the motorbike. I just look. I'm sorry, but I just
being able to pick up a motorbike is pretty great.
Yeah, just someone's riding you in a motorbike, grab the wheel, they go flying. And you just
one-handed,
like,
by the way.
Yeah, he picks it up one-handed.
Yeah, I think that would be just like... Could you imagine just going down to a bikey club, someone comes out, you're just like, come here, right? Just start swinging their bike around. That would be awesome.
Nathan.
He took the one I was going to take, so I'm going to take the next one. I'd like to be able to dual-wield rifles while running on being piggybacked by you in particular, Scott.
Me too, bro. And what would hurt the most?
What would hurt the most? I think that's the one that Christian pointed out probably is the... Because it's
the human
it's real, but if not, probably that scrum early on in the film when he's trying to get the guy in the red shirt.
Yeah.
Like, there's a couple of people roll off a hill. I don't think that hill is as high as they show. I think that's all CG.
But those rocks aren't CG.
Yeah, but that crush of people is still probably pretty fucked.
Mm-hmm. Rachel.
What were the questions again?
What would you like... What stunt do you think hurt the most?
Fuck, I can't remember.
All right, what would you like to do from this film?
I don't know. There's so many things. I don't know.
I'd love to be driven on the back of a motorbike with a handful of nails and just drop it and have no repercussions whatsoever and have a beautiful woman come to me. Can you help me change my tire?
Good Lord, my tires have popped. Nothing? Come back to you. All right. Stunt that would have hurt the most. I don't think this is not a stunt, essentially, but when he's getting whipped with the cat of nine tails nailed whip and is sliding around his skin.
Yeah.
Oh, I felt all of that.
Is that whipping like, will you just add it in CG in post?
I think they would have wrapped it around him because when they're whipping from the back, it looks like, because the camera's set up in such a way, it could be further away from him. The whip might even touch him. But when he's actually whipped it around him, you'll notice that he whips it around him. It's a lot slower. It's a lot more controlled, especially when he's pulling. He's trying to pull it because it's supposed to look like he's dragging the knife. So maybe the barbs were CG or maybe they were real, but they just had no... You know, they were just like rubber.
Yeah.
And when they're pulling it, it's just kind of... they're pulling it slowly, so it's just like a rope. You're pulling a rope over, and then they probably CG over the top of that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
They would have taken his shirt off, too. That shirt gives him protection. They would have been, get that shirt off, get some salt in those wounds.
It's more dramatic, though.
Yeah.
And the thing I'd like to do the most... When Raj, at the start, he jumps over the barbed wire, does this massive leap. I can barely step off my front door without, like, rolling an ankle, so I'd like to be able to do a big jump like that.
Superman jump.
Yeah.
I got to admit, they do have some pretty Spider-Man-ish talents.
Well, they're superhuman.
Like, we touched on a bit through the film. The CG is, it's not great, but it's so fantastical that I can kind of forgive it, I guess.
Yeah, like, there's a bit where they fight at when the fire and ice thing, where, like, they destroy a fountain and he's using one of the hoses as a whip.
Yeah.
And the other guy's got, like, Raju's got like is it a chain fire? He's got something attached, like a urn, a brazier, I think it's called, attached to a chain.
A brazier?
Yeah, and they're like flipping it around, and it's not realistic in any way, but it feels
awesome.
Yeah, it's very, very
fire
awesome.
Versus
this
water.
Would be one of those games, This would be one of those movies where.
No, you're right, it's a video game.
Where
Sub-Zero versus Scorpion.
During the action scenes, you could do a drinking game. Mm-hmm. Like every time you saw something crazy, you could take a shot.
You'd die. It's 3 hours and there's at least 40 shots like that are ridiculous.
Yeah, but the thing is, there's such a gap in between. You sober up. Between.
Anything, Rachel, for you like to do / painful stunts?
I don't know if I'd like to do it because it's just so stupendous. I don't know. I'm pretty blown away by this movie because it's just so ridiculous but so good in that way.
So thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle, starting with Nathan.
Yeah, it's a thumbs up.
Christian?
Yeah, it's definitely thumbs up.
Rachel?
Yeah.
I'm thumbs up, but leaning towards the middle.
Yeah, it's not perfect. It's a bit long.
But I think it's such a spectacle.
I think you should watch it anyway.
Would you see it again? Would you watch it again?
Honestly, I would try and get other people to watch it. I'd have to. It'd be happy one of those things that you could do. You'd be have to have the right time. You have to plan it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be just be spontaneous.
We'd be like, hey, let's watch this.
Like we've been putting this off. We wanted to do this a long time ago. We've been putting this off until we had time to sit down for 3 hours, and that's hard to do.
I don't mind the length of it. I thought it could have been trimmed a bit, but I'm not against long movies.
No, neither am I. This is okay.
This could have been a little bit shorter.
This to me felt like it should have been two movies, to be honest. Like you could have cut it in half and had it.
I don't think I'd watch the second movie. Rachel?
But that's like trying to cut what Stephen Chow movie, Journey to the West, into two parts and making you wait like 10 years for the other one.
Yeah.
Would you watch it again?
I don't really watch movies again. I don't know.
I probably wouldn't, but that's because I'm a bit like you. There's only a couple of movies every now and then that I'll watch again.
Hmm. Like I only watch absolute trash again for the trash value.
And this is so long. Like I might watch bits of it.
Yeah.
I might because I'm kind of interested to go back and see that fight sequence with all the animals again, just to see what's going on in the background that I'm missing, because those animals are fucking people up everywhere.
There's a lot going on.
He's like, I reckon somewhere on YouTube is a supercut. It's like an hour of just all the action.
Probably
the intro scene, the ending scene, and that party scene. I guess.
Yeah,
I watched those. Would I watch it again? I don't know.
Probably not.
I'd investigate the soundtrack though.
All right.
I reckon there's someone's made one of those movies where they have wrestlers doing their move and just throwing, like in the big ones, they're throwing people everywhere. I reckon that's out there somewhere.
So that was Rise, Roar, Revolt on the Asian Action Cast.
Have a nice weekend.
Now, if you want to get in touch, Sam would like to answer your questions on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or asianactioncast@gmail.com. Give us a suggestion. Give us your opinions on this movie or any movie. We don't care.
We don't care about your opinion either.
Talk to me.
I will argue.
I'm shouting into the void.
Thanks for listening.
And they're essentially like psychic evil vampires that feed on the blood of the innocent.